Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Amen. How many excited to be saved tonight? Alive and living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise God. We had a good Mother's Day. I meant to do it on Sunday. Anna and Noel for all the time. I know Claudia too was here, but they spent a lot of time on those balloons. Thank you guys so much. If you haven't seen it, go out that door tonight and get a picture still. It's not too late. If you didn't get a chance with your mom or your family, take advantage of all that work. It's a lot of work, amen? We thank anybody and everybody tonight that's doing something to reach people. How many know this is a team effort tonight? Everything we do is a team effort, working for the kingdom of God. Amen? Sunday is going to be very exciting. We're going to have baptism on Sunday. Amen? Water baptism. Amen? Lots of new people. Come on, let's get excited. That's what it's all about. Amen? Lots of new people. I want to have Bradley come up real quick. I'm going to embarrass him. He didn't know I was going to do this. This is one of our newest, very, very newest converts. He's just been saved 1 month. Amen? Come on, let everybody see. Let the camera see everybody. Amen. He came in. He said, my mom's coming Sunday. Isn't that awesome? And then I said, how old are you? And you said, when was your birthday?
It's July 4th.
You're going to be 19 or 18?
I'll be 19.
19, July 4th. So, man, that's really close. So when you got saved a month ago, that was April. April, May to June, July. Very close. I don't think I was about the exact same age as he was when I got saved. I was 18 in about 9 months. And so I said, now in 32 years, you need to be doing what I'm doing. I didn't mean you have to be pastoring, but you got to be serving God. Amen? You're going to be serving God in 32 years? Amen. It's awesome. Praise God. How many are going to finish the race? We got to finish. We've started, but we got to finish. I want to finish up tonight, speaking to finish, I believe, unless the Lord changes my mind, the third part of the series of being a carnal Christian. Don't be a carnal Christian. Change a little bit the title tonight and add a little emphasis to it. And I'm excited for everybody that's here because I really believe this is a very timely word for us, all of us. And I want to start off reading the text that I've been reading so everybody gets an idea of where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual. Now, this is really important as I begin to get into this part of what I want to share tonight. Because when we get to where we're not spiritual, the only other thing we can be is carnal. And when we're carnal, we're in danger. Okay, that's why this is called the dangers of being a carnal Christian. So it says, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people. I really want you to remember this first verse as I get into this tonight and keep it kind of right there in front of you in your spiritual screen so that you can remember everything else I'm going to say so that you don't ever get to this place. Now, the problem is you might get to that place and not know it. And that's the really dangerous part. Amen? Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for our ears to hear. Touch lives, save lives, prevent things tonight, God, speaking through your word. And devil, you cannot lie or deceive to God's people. You are not able to have any power over these people tonight. And I bind you in Jesus' name. And I pray for the loosing of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you get to this place, I was telling somebody before the service, and I've said this example before, how many have ever been to the ocean? How many have ever been in the ocean? Okay, if you haven't, you won't understand this, but if you have, it's a very simple understanding. You put your keys, your towel, your cell phone, whatever your belongings, on the ground in the sand. You go get in the water. You begin to wade around and splash and play and swim and have fun. There's nothing wrong with that, but all of a sudden you look back at where you left all your stuff, and where is it? Way down the shore, because you've drifted, and you don't even know it. This is the danger of being a carnal Christian, as you begin to drift away, and you don't even know it, okay? So what you need is somebody in your life who's a lifeguard. somebody who is going to throw a what is that thing called? Thank you, buoy. That's the exact name. I would have a tire or something. Amen. Throw the buoy in the water, save the person, bring them back in. How many know we need a lifeguard tonight? Now, I'm not talking about the lifeguard. I'm talking about a lifeguard. Jesus is the lifeguard, but God established us to have lifeguards in our lives. It's in the church. It's in the place where we come and we have people around us who speak into our lives, teach us the word of God, hold us accountable. When we say church, when we say you need to be in church or you've been missing church or don't miss church, we're not saying it in the sense that Victory World Outreach is the only place to get saved. We're talking about the place you need to be to hear the word of God, to be accountable to the Lord, and to stay afloat and not drift. Everybody understanding me so far? So understand as I get into this tonight that you could be drifting and not even know it, and so you need somebody to speak to you. You need to have ears to hear, and hopefully if you've lost those ears to hear, tonight they will pop open, and you will hear, so that that will not be you. Let's finish this. As babes in Christ. In other words, you don't stay a baby, okay? I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. So he's saying, I'm hoping you're going to start being able to receive this, and even now you're still not able. Why? Because you're still carnal. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Write this down if you're taking notes. Many of you have probably heard this, maybe didn't know what it meant, or it might have gone over your head, but it's very important. An ounce of prevention. An ounce of prevention. Can anybody finish that for me? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Okay, now some of you are like, what? Let me just make it a little simple for you, okay? It's easier to stop the damage from happening than to try to go back and repair the damage after it's done. Okay? In other words, it's better for you to live tonight as a strong Christian and never get damaged than to mess up and backslide or get in a bad position or get in a bad place and have to be fixed. Does anybody agree with that? I won't ask people to raise their hands because there's people in here that I could and they would be willing, but that's not the point. There are some people in this place tonight that by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, and of course I am one of them, but in this church, in even the last 15 years, there are many people here who at some point have drifted off and gone back to their old ways. I will mention Nico because he said it himself when he got baptized. He's one of them. Only because he said it when he got baptized. I could say other people, that's not the point. But when you go out there and get lost and come back, which is a miracle, you have to be extra careful. Because when you leave and get carnal and go out in the world, those demons come 7 times stronger. And there's no promise you're going to come back. That's why this is such an important message on a Wednesday night, because there is a danger to continually being, and you don't have to be a carnal Christian very long. It can happen in a night, it can happen in 2 nights, it happens quick. The devil has been planning your demise for a while, but the fall happens quick when you don't know it. Is anybody with me tonight? So I want to say a quick story that I didn't have plans on saying, and then I'm going to get into what I really want to talk about tonight, and I'm going to talk from my heart to you. How many will let me talk to you from my heart tonight? This is one of those Wednesday night messages where I really want you to hear my heart. And what I'm going to say is going to be on behalf of Pastor Mario and all the pastors that pastor in our fellowship and our home church. I will speak on behalf of all of us as pastors. Many of our pastors are watching tonight. Many of our pastors haven't started Wednesday nights, and they'll be able to take this to their churches. But I'm going to give just one example so you can understand where I'm going with this. You're here tonight like Bradley. You may be saved a month, you may be saved 6 months, you may be saved a year, you may be saved 2 years, whatever it is, doesn't matter. That's the amount you've been saved. You're walking the walk, you're on the right path. But I tell you all the time, you got to finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And you're not finished until you hear Jesus say, enter in, good and faithful servant. As long as you're on this earth, you have not arrived, and you got to finish. Okay? Many people get saved miraculously and have testimonies and see God do amazing things in their lives. And God has an amazing plan for your life. How many believe that tonight? An amazing plan. More than you can even fathom. Greater than you've even, the Bible says they haven't even entered into our heart, the heart of man, what God has prepared for us. But I want you to understand the reason I'm talking about danger is just as much as God has a plan for you, so does the devil. God's is of love. God's is of peace. God's is of a future hope. The devil's is of destruction and eternal life in hell, where he wants you to be because that's where he is and we'll always be. And so people all the time get saved and do great things. And I'm going to tell you quickly, I've only said it probably one other time, and I don't know how long it's been, a story, a sad story, a horribly sad story. Not to make tonight sad, but to hopefully to wake anybody up that might need it. And maybe nobody needs it, but tonight you might say, you know what, that might be a really good prevention message for me. Because an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. It's better to prevent the damage than to try to repair it. There was a couple in our church in Costa Rica who came in the very beginning of our church. I'm not going to give all the details because there's many, but I'm going to give the general idea. She came in first. Her name was Melissa. She got miraculously saved, changed her life, and gave her life to the Lord. Not too long later, her future husband came in. They were living together like many do. He got saved. His name was Rudy. They began to get involved in church. I married them. I want you to understand tonight as I tell this story and as I talk about the dangers of being carnal Christians that I'm not talking about something I don't know about. That everything that we try to help you with tonight is out of experience. And I want to throw this in before I continue with the story. I want you to understand as I speak you from my heart, I was talking to this about this to my mother-in-law. I think sometimes we can think that when we're trying to help you, and this is me, this is Pastor Mario, our wives, this is leaders, this is all the people together collectively as a church trying to help people make it to heaven. By the way, we don't get anything from the government for you being in our church, by the way. We're not getting any benefit from the government if we have a certain amount of people. What we do is for you because we want you to go to heaven. That's our only motive. Does everybody understand that tonight? That's our only motive is for you to make heaven your home. And so we have this call and this desire to help you. And I think sometimes you might think, man, these people are a little bit radical. It seems like they are very involved in my life. Why do they tell me I wasn't at church? Why do they tell me we missed you? How come this, that, and the other? I don't want you to look at it that way. I don't want you to look at, is this a cult? Is this something weird? I want you to look at it as something you've probably never seen before, which is called a church that truly cares about your soul and wants you to spend eternity in heaven. That's all we want. We don't wake up in the morning and call each other, hey, whose lives can we control today? Who can we tell they're not walking the right way or maybe they should not go left and go right or whatever? Just like you don't wake up every morning looking for something to correct in your children. Amen. You wake up hoping that you can pat them on the back and say, good son, good daughter, thank you for listening. Praise God, keep living your wonderful life, but you don't wake up saying, how can I find an error in them? That's, we don't either. But a church that really cares only wants to see you make it, and sometimes you have to get into someone's life and say, listen, I see something in your life that is dangerous. You might not see it. And so you have to be able to understand that's our motive, is just to see you make heaven. So this couple gets saved, we marry them. They start serving in the church faithfully. They become our youth leaders later. He is very good at sheetrock, and he helps us remodel our building and is working for somebody on an hourly wage. And I told Rudy, I said, you can make more in a day than you make in a month in your own business. And helped him get his business started, and he started his own business. He became very successful in his business. Even after we were gone, they continued to get more and more successful, made a lot of money. and bought cars and houses, moved out of Pavas, the poor area, and bought a house. God blessed them. We sent them out to start a church. Then we had something go wrong in our church, and we had to bring them back and put them over the youth. And then later on, Pastor Mario and Deanza used them and even took them to a conference in Mexico. They were at a conference with us. We were there. God was blessing their business. God was blessing their lives. Their children loved God. My father-in-law will never forget their little son saying, "Pastor Blake, Pastor Blake, Pastor Blake, Pastor Blake." That's how he would talk to me. So cute. I'm gonna tell you the first sad part of the story is he just died of cancer. I'm going to go backwards. That little Pastor Blake just died of cancer. I think 18 years old. But that's not the saddest thing. They kept on serving, but then all of a sudden, they began to get carnal. And I don't know, I'm not going to get into all the details, but all of a sudden, she's with another person in the church. They get divorced. They both go their own ways. Not too long later, she's pregnant by another man. Not too long after that, she walks over to her mother's house and leaves. How old was the baby? 16 months, year. Less than a year old, says, "Mom, here, watch the baby." And goes to a bridge and jumps off the bridge and kills herself. It was on national TV. Not the death, but the coverage. My mom and dad can be testimonies. How do you think that goes over for pastors? To hear that news. Bad enough that they walked out on God and left the church. And then just a few years later, hasn't been 2 or 3 years, I think, we find out that Rudy, who was one time a pastor with us, whose wife killed herself, and he's gone off to do his own thing, killed with a gun one of our own disciples from our own church in Costa Rica that came in and got saved when they were pastoring there. Y'all listening to me? The devil don't play around. And now the last part of the story is, out of the four people in the family, there's only one left that's the daughter. And the other, because Rudy's running for his life all the time, either from the narcos or from the law, from killing this man. And now the son just passed away of cancer. All that stuff that happens, church, so you don't understand sometimes when we're in your business and we're trying to help you and we're trying to love on you, and we're trying to teach you things. You don't understand the experiences that we've had in the past with people who've done the same exact thing you're doing, and we know what they end up doing. I could spend hours telling you stories of people that we know, and that's the ones we know, who have gone out of this place and backslid. And are out, divorced, their kids aren't going to church, they're lost, they're in drugs, they're whatever it is. I don't want to spend a lot of time with that, but I want you to understand there's a reason why we're talking about this tonight. So once again, after telling you that the quick details of that story, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind or the forefront of your mind or wherever you want to put it. I'm saying this on behalf of myself, Pastor Mario, all the pastors in the fellowship that are still with us, that have not left, because listen, it's not just, matter of fact, those were pastors, it's not just people, it's people that have served as pastors, as leaders, who are today are not serving God. I asked him at 50, are you going to still be serving God? I ask you tonight, in 20 or 30 years, are you still going to be serving God? How many are still going to be serving God in 20 or 30 years? In Jesus' name. Amen? But you won't be if you don't understand the dangers of being a carnal Christian. So I speak on us, and again, our home church, our head pastors, over the frustration and heartbreak of seeing people, listen, write this down right here, these three words, disregarding, that's one word, disregarding wise counsel. Disregarding wise counsel. Amen? Did y'all write that down? Heartbreak over disregarding wise counsel. Okay? Now, I want to show you in the Word, because here, before I get there, let me say this, because what happens a lot of times, and listen, I want you to know, I'm not mad. Look at me, I'm not mad at all. Not angry. Except at the devil, I'm always mad at him. But I'm just very sincerely wanting to save you from some problems. Okay? And it doesn't have to, there may be some things going on right now I don't even know about. I don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't know, as a matter of fact. Don't think I know everything. But God knows everything. But what I hear a lot, and I've heard this for many years, and our home church has heard it for twice as long, is, oh, this church is so awesome. All these people are so awesome. Everyone is so loving. This church is like a family. I've never been in such a loving church. I love your messages, Pastor. Oh, your preaching's changed my life, Pastor. Blah, blah, blah. Hello? Y'all with me? Hear it all the time. But then later on at some point, this would be a good conference message right here. I might have to pull this back out. Somebody that said all those words to you, when you try to correct them or try to speak life into them, all of a sudden, all those things are out the window. It's not such an awesome church anymore. It's not a loving family anymore. The messages aren't great anymore. All those things changed. And I asked the question, what changed? What changed? Because we're still here. And we've been here. And we're going to be here. So what changed? The person changed and got carnal. Amen? Why am I saying this? Because you don't want it to be you. Don't tell the person next to you this time. Just tell yourself. Don't let that be you. Amen? So in other words, you can't pick and choose when you want to be accountable. You can't say, well, I like it when it's the way I get it and I like it, but if it's something that I really need and I really deserve, I don't want that. That doesn't work. Okay? So I say this again, and I said this one or 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again tonight because I still feel in my spirit it's still there. I said someone listening is in danger if they don't change their heart. Okay? What you need to do tonight and I need to do tonight is say, like the disciples said on the night that Judas betrayed Jesus, Lord, is it me? Not, oh, I know who he's talking about. Or I think I know who he's talking about. No, Lord, is it me? Am I the one that's in danger tonight of possibly walking away from God? Romans 8, how many are still here? 7 and 8 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. So then, watch this, those who are in, I almost titled the message this tonight, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? So, the church exists out of the ordinance of God to preach the word to you. Okay? And let's look at what the Bible says we're supposed to preach. 2 Timothy 3:16. Understand the heart that this is coming from. All scripture, and when you say all scripture, that means everything, is given by inspiration of God. By the way, if you're a guest here tonight, please don't take offense to what I'm saying. Know that we love this church and we love people. Hopefully this might be something that keeps you here. You say, man, this church really cares, because that's what the heart of this message is, okay? It's given by inspiration of God, and watch what it is. Watch what the word does. It's profitable for doctrine, that's what we believe, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So one of my jobs and Pastor Mario's jobs and leaders' jobs is to reprove, to correct, and to instruct. And remember that I have pastors. I'm not standing up here telling you anything I don't do. I have pastors in my life that I listen to, and I get corrected on things, and I thank God for it because they care for me. Amen? Now look what Proverbs 13, verse 13 says. And this is in the Amplified Classic Edition, because it said it better than the New King James. It says, whoever despises the word, that's the Bible, and counsel of God brings destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the commandment of God is rewarded. So there's something about an attitude or a heart that says, correction is not fun, but I embrace it because I need it. Because it keeps me in line. It keeps me in check. If, God forbid, and I'm not God, Melissa is passing eternity in hell tonight for taking her own life, I promise you she wishes she could be sitting in this service again and going back to wherever it was in her life that she began to get off course. I was telling someone today who had backslidden and come back, listen, I need you to go back and look at the times you failed and messed up and ask the Holy Spirit, where were the areas where you began to make the wrong choices that led you to go out? Because now you have the benefit of the experience of the grace of God to come back that not everybody gets. And learn from those things and never do them again. Because church, I say it all the time, entire hell tonight wishes they could come back and fix things that they could have fixed. And it starts with an attitude that says, correct me, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. Tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Because boy, is there a lot of trash out there today. I get these videos. I showed Destiny today. I thought about showing it, not going to waste my time on it. But I put in the, I may save it, I may say, show it at some point, but a church in Chicago. The picture is rated R, about relationships. It's two men. I hit the video. They're introducing themselves. I'm Bishop McQueen. I'm Bishop this, that, and the other. Introduce yourself. I am First Gentleman. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that's on the internet today. The trash and the garbage that's being passed around. There's a lot of junk out there, church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Anything you want to do in your flesh, you can find a church that'll say it's okay. Anything. And you'll find a group of people who will say it's okay. If that's what you want to do, you go do that. But you're going to be in trouble. Can I get an amen? Amen. Proverbs 1:24 says, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you have disdained my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. You know Solomon, you know we can learn from Solomon tonight. I always tell you the wisest, dumbest person who's ever lived on the face of the earth. How can you be both? You can. Solomon proved it. Sounds crazy. You can be the smartest guy ever and the dumbest in the same life. Yeah, he did, and he was. He wrote all the Proverbs, and today we use the Proverbs every day for our lives, and they're so beneficial to us. From somebody, church, listen closely, that we don't have any biblical evidence ever came back to God. Isn't that crazy? But we should learn from him, because he did understand correction, and he understood it while he was alive, but at some point, even Solomon got to a place where he wasn't taking correction anymore. So write this down, please, in your notes. The call and the duties and the responsibilities of a pastor and a leader are to teach and correct and help and counsel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Watch this. This is what the Bible says we're supposed to do as your pastors and leaders. Convince. Trying to convince you tonight. Rebuke. Exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. You see that? Leave that there for just a second. Go back to that prior verse. How many see that there? This is Timothy. We talked about Timothy on Sunday. his grandma and his mom serving the Lord, Eunice and Lois. He's been passed down the torch. He's now preaching the word, and he's saying what we're supposed to do is to be ready in season and out. We're supposed to convince people, not just to believe in Jesus, but to live for Jesus and to live a life that glorifies Jesus. Too many people get the Jesus part, but don't glorify God with their lives. Don't honor God with their lives. Don't honor God with their decisions. And so we're supposed to do this, convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And let me say something else before he goes to the next verse. I want to remind you tonight that anybody who's truly called by God did not call themselves. Anybody who's truly doing the call of God and being a pastor never wanted to be. Never. But God calls, and the pastor answers. So there's times when it'd be a lot funner to be Joel Osteen and just get up here and smile every single service and just tell you everything's great and you can be a champion and you can have your best life now. I can't even do it, God. I don't know how you smile and talk at the same time. Get stuck? Come on. That's anybody who has a true calling understands you have to talk about the ugly stuff too. You got to deal with sin. You got to tell people there's a hell. You talk about heaven all the time. You never realize there's a hell. So we're doing tonight in every service and outside of the services, because that's when the real work is, in between services and at night and in the morning and after service and before service. And wherever we are, as pastors and leaders of the church, trying to get you to heaven. And all of us get to heaven. Because he says, if not, verse 15, the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. If I want to have a homosexual lifestyle like those pastors, then I can heap up for myself a pastor that will tell me it's okay to be homosexual. If I want to be a murderer, it sounds crazy. I can find a church where it's okay to murder. If I want to be a liar, if I want to be a pedophile, if I want to be a rapist, if I want to be a drug addict, if I want to be an alcoholic, if I want to be a womanizer, whatever it is, sounds crazy, but I can find a church. It won't preach against, at least, at the very least, not preach against my lifestyle so that I can stay a carnal Christian. Amen? Y'all with me? And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But see, we always say, that'll never be me. And I hope it's not. But the problem is, what if someone tells you it is? And you don't listen because you're carnal. Prevention is an ounce. Is better. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Let me push through these fast. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I use this example all the time. It's the simplest, easiest example I can think of. Casey, what color is this? Christina, what color is this? Dark blue. Joel, what color is this? Andy, what color is this? I'm sorry, you don't have your glasses on. Let me get a little closer. London, what color is this? What color is this? That wasn't fair, Christina. That was kind of far away. I'm black. Everybody? Does anybody in here think it's not black? Does anybody here raise your hand if you think it's white? Okay? There are people, sounds crazy, where everybody is telling you, if this is wrong, this isn't good, you're not going the right direction. 10 people in the room can tell you, but you say it's white. It's black. And everybody in your life tells you, that's black, but you think it's white. Danger. Dangerous. And it happens all the time. In where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, in other words, if everybody tells you this is black, it's black. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go. This is an interesting word. Awry. When was the last time you said, my plans have gone awry? Never, probably. You know what that means? Twisted, not functioning correctly. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel. Receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. How many want to be wise, not today only, but at the end? Here's a word that Solomon is hypocritically writing. He didn't know it when he wrote it. But he says, listen to counsel, receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Solomon was wise in his younger days, but in his older days he was not wise. So many people's lives today are destroyed and they're out of the will of God because they don't listen to counsel. I see something you don't see. I'm not trying to control your life, but would you listen? I think this is dangerous. I don't think this is good. I don't think this is safe. I think you're going the wrong direction. When you start missing church, when we say that, remember, it's not the institution of this church, VWO, that we believe preaches the truth and is very good and very important. It's the fact that you're not in the fellowship of believers. I would be totally happy not losing somebody when they leave the church. But if I found out that person that left the church was at another church and they were going to a Bible preaching church, thank God they're at church. But that's not usually what happens. Because usually when people leave a church, they leave it for the wrong reason or the wrong way. And then when they get out there and they go, oh, I shouldn't have left, they're too prideful to come back. Nico, can I use you again? You got big shoulders. Nico told me today that when he left our church in Fort Worth Drive and backslid, he lived over there. Many times, his own words, pulled into our parking lot during services, wanting to come in, wanting to come back into church. And what would we have done in the church? Exactly what we did when he came in last year. Welcome home. Welcome home. Come on in. Like you never left. Come on. Like the prodigal son. Come on. But flesh got him. Drove out of the parking lot, tears in his eyes. Too prideful to come back. By the grace of God, he came back. How many people, I told him today, you pray on Tuesday nights when you come to prayer, when you pray in the morning, when you pray for those people. You don't even have to know them that have left the church and need to humble themselves and come home. Amen? Come back home where you belong. Acts 15, 28 says, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Watch this. This is so important. And to us. See, the Holy Spirit uses us. Y'all see that? Here's the church, the book of Acts, the first church, our example. They're making a decision, and it says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It's always got to be the Holy Spirit first. And to us, together, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They're talking about something there. It's an example in the church of a decision they're making. But the point I'm trying to show you is we make decisions as a church. The beliefs that we have today that are our doctrines are biblical, and we believe them as a fellowship. That's why we're called a fellowship of churches. If somebody stops believing the doctrine of the Bible, they will no longer be part of our fellowship. Whether it's a church or it's believers. Because we hold that doctrine. We stand on that doctrine. And sometimes when someone gets off and they don't want to take correction, they got to go. Sometimes it's, and listen, I'm going to say sometimes, most of the time it's them leaving themselves because they won't just come around and make things right and walk out of the destiny. When you walk out of the church, the wolves are waiting outside. And they're not just waiting to scratch you up. They're waiting to kill you, destroy you, terminate you, and drag your soul to hell. I'm just using the word wolves, demons, whatever you want to call them. They're out there waiting, out both doors. Stay in the flock. Stay in the group. Stay together. Stay humble. Stay teachable. When you love correction, there's a powerful thing in it. When you embrace it, you say, man, that person loves me enough to take the time to speak into my life and save me from something. Is it possible that the person speaking to you that God has placed in leadership in your life can see something you can't see? Yes, very possible, and even more so likely. Last verse before we bow our heads. Proverbs 16:16, on a positive note, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Lord, I pray tonight that my heart has come out through my words, and that every man and every woman and every teenager and every young person here tonight knows my heart and our heart as a church. All we want is to see people make heaven their home. But God, after many, many years, 30 years myself, 50 years as a church, we've seen a lot of experiences. God, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let everybody in this place today that's listening to me, whether they've never even had an inclination to go back to their old ways or whether they're being tempted tonight to cross a bridge that's dangerous, let them go back to that first story I told and realize that's a real story of real people. And it's not people that we heard of, it's people we know. And just as you, Father, are no respecter of persons, neither is the devil. He hates everyone equally. And the Bible tells us that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. But tonight, Lord God, your word says, resist the devil and he will flee. Lord, I cannot make, one of the hardest parts of being a pastor is I can't make the decisions for them. Like the old saying says, I can lead them to water, but I can't make them drink. Tonight I ask your Holy Spirit to quicken the hearts of every person here. And if there be anybody in danger of drifting, anybody in danger of making wrong choices and going the wrong direction, that now, tonight, at this altar, things will change. And we'll never even talk about it. There'll be no tragedy. There'll be no story other than the goodness of God and the mercies of God and the testimony of what they do for the Lord in their lives. Prevention tonight, Lord, is better than a pound of cure. Oh, wake us up and speak to us tonight. Show us tonight, each one of us. Is it I, Lord? Am I the one that's got something in my heart? Lord, search me. Search me tonight, the pastor, in my own personal life. Is there anything in my life that's not teachable, that's prideful, that's not open to correction? That if several pastor friends of mine told me, you're in the wrong, you're going the wrong direction, this isn't God, I would listen to wise counsel. Father, I pray that for every person here tonight, from the bottom of my heart, from sincerity in my heart, that they would make right decisions. And Lord, if there's nobody here tonight making any decisions wrong, then this is a good message of prevention. Whatever the case may be, speak, correct, convince, rebuke, change, transform our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many all over this place tonight could say, I do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior tonight, and tonight I want to be saved. Just lift up your hand. I've never given Jesus my life. Just put it up. Put it right back down. I'm going to wait just a moment. You're here. You've never accepted Christ. Notice I didn't ask you if you have accepted a membership to a church. There'll be no church denominations. There'll be no names in heaven. God is not going to ask, did you belong to the Catholic Church? Did you belong to the Methodist Church? Did you belong to the Episcopalian Church? Did you belong to Victory World Outreach Church? He's going to ask, does my son know you? Did you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what will get you into heaven. He's the door. If you've never given Jesus your life, tonight is your night. Just lift up your hand and say, pray for me tonight. I want to receive. Maybe you're here, and at some point in your life, you did. You gave Jesus your life. But if you're honest with God tonight, not me, God, you're not in good standing tonight. You're in rebellion. You're living in sin, habitual sin. You're walking in carnality, and you are in a dangerous place today. Tonight, as we open up these altars, get right with God. Repent. Turn. Change. Leave it on the altar. Ride this altar to heaven tonight. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's stand all over this place. You know how I know God spoke tonight? Because you can hear a pin drop right now. That's good. It's not all, shouting doesn't mean anything. Screaming doesn't mean anything. There's a moment for shouting victory. But these are serious moments, church. These are the moments that save your life or destroy it. Because whatever you do with this message belongs to you. It's personal. Let me know it's personal tonight. And only you know. I could be up here tonight looking the part and have rebellion in my heart and be in danger tonight. I can't fool you. Sorry, I can fool you, but I can't fool God. It's a heart thing. Amen? Tonight, every service, be that person that says, I'm going to that altar, and I'm going to say, Lord, is it me? Are you talking to me? Is there anything in my life that needs to be prevented? Have I been humble? Have I been listening? Have I been open to the correction, the teaching, the rebuke, the guidance of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the leaders in my life so I can make heaven my home? As we begin to sing tonight, the altars are open. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.